ATS listeners, and welcome to Rantings of the Perpetually Sleep Deprived on AboveTopSecret.com. I'm your host, Maria Stardust. This show will be my platform to rant or discuss any number of things ranging from social issues to politics and everything else in between. Hello everyone, it is flooding down in Texas, and I do mean that literally. And since I can't even get out of my own house because, well, it's a tad bit wet outside, I have decided to do another podcast. Yay! So, I've been dwelling on this for some time on doing a podcast on this book that has been sitting on my bookshelf for more years than I care to admit to, but it's a fun read. Before I talk about the book, I just want to say that, you know, there's a point in everybody's life here where we've come across an interesting little fact or incident that just opened up our imaginations and just let them run wild, and then one day we grew up and we found ATS, which is, you know, the birthplace of all things weird and wonderful. And so that brings me to this book. This is a Reader's Digest book. It's called Mysteries of the Unexplained. I'm sure that it is not foreign to some of you out there. Its subtitle is How Ordinary Men and Women Have Experienced the Strange, the Uncanny, and the Incredible. Absolutely. I certainly agree with that. Let's see. This particular issue was published in 1982. So I actually obtained it sometime after that date, obviously. Now, the table of contents. This is fun. See, we have Beyond the Walls of Time, which covers prophecies, anomalies, and coincidences. We also have another section titled Unearthly Fates, which covers spontaneous human combustion. Oh, yeah. Inexplicable crimes and assaults, appearances and disappearances. Moving on, we've got Monsters and More, which covers monsters, no surprise there, and Spectral Incursions. I can only guess that means ghosts and other things that go bump in the night. Then we've got The Unquiet Sky, Strange Things from Above, Unidentified Flying Objects, Atmospheric and Astronomical Oddities, and lastly we've got In the Realm of Miracles. And the section it covers are Cures and Immunities and Signs and Wonders. So I thought it would be kind of fun just to kind of peruse the pages, so to say, and look at some of the weird and wonderful wacky things that happened or have been reported through time. The great thing about this book, for those that are not familiar with it, is that there's actually incidents that are just plugged into a paragraph or two. I mean, just snippets of stories here. So it's great. Let me jump to a grand example of that. And what section is this? I'm not quite sure. But it's labeled An Iceberg in the Sky. In July 1975, a large block of ice fell through the roof of the Melkis home in Dunstable, Bedford, England. At the time of the incident, the family was engrossed in a TV movie about the Titanic. As the ice crashed through their ceiling, they were tensely waiting for the ship to strike the fateful iceberg. And this was reported by John Mitchell and Robert J. M. Rickard in Phenomena, A Book of Wonders, page 91. Ah, so this really is a digest. Interesting. So the book is littered with wonderful little asides like that. Let's see. Ah, here's another one. A mysterious, though not spontaneous, case of human combustion was reported by Dr. DeBrus in the Edinburgh Medical and Surgical Journal, dated March 1829. The subject's hands burst into blue flames when he attempted to help his brother, whose clothes were on fire. The flames continued for several hours to leap up and flicker over the hands, and only constant immersion in water finally extinguished them. And that was by Theodore R. and John B. Beck, Elements of Medical Jurisprudence, 10th edition, volume 2, pages 98 through 99. Oh, that's cool. Let's see. Spontaneous. Let's see. A preference for ears. Mutilations. This ought to be good. Something had been eating at the ear, had been eating the ears off living hogs, reported the Jasper County News in Mississippi in January 1977. One victim belonging to Joseph Dixon of Nazarene Community had had its ears sheared off so cleanly that the job might have been done with scissors. The next night, another hog was attacked in the pen, and a third hog the following night. On the third night, Dixon saw an animal in the pen. It was bigger than the biggest German Shepherd, he said, and could jump further than any dog in the world. A week later, Calvin Martin, a neighbor, found the ears of one of his sows had been pulled out by the roots. Ew. Hee-hee. Can anybody say chupacabra? Let's see. What do we have? Oh, here's one that has actually appeared on one of the forums. See, two children appeared from a cave near Banjos, Spain in August 1887. Their skin was green and their clothes were of an unfamiliar material. They could not speak Spanish and their eyes appeared Oriental. At first they would not eat and the boy died, but the girl survived and learned enough Spanish to explain that they came from a sunless land, where one day a whirlwind had swept her and her companion away and placed them in the cave. Understandably, this did little to dispel the wonder surrounding her, and she died in 1892, her origin still unknown. This is from this site's Colin Wilson, Enigmas and Mysteries, page 131. See, that's why I love this book. It's got all sorts of little surprises in here. Bank robber John Dillinger, according to authorities, was shot down by federal agents in Chicago on July 22, 1934. But according to J. Robert Nash, a crime historian, the autopsy report showed that the corpse was shorter and stockier than Dillinger, had brown rather than blue eyes, and showed signs of rheumatic heart condition, which Dillinger did not have. Was there a cover-up for publicity purposes? Catching him greatly enhanced the prestige of J. Edgar Hoover's Bureau of Investigation, later known as the FBI. Did Dillinger, in fact, live on, secure in the knowledge that no dead man would appear in the Wanted Alive placards plastered on the post office wall? That's an interesting. I hadn't heard about that. And this is credits J. Robert Nash, the said historian. Among the Missing, page 394, and Julian Simmons, A Pictorial History of Crime, page 140 through 142. You know, I wonder how many of these books that are cited actually belong to Reader's Digest. Now, that would be a little mystery in itself. And, of course, we've got things like Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster and... Let's see. California is richly endowed with almost everything, but it is unaccountable short of water monsters. Let's see. One, however, has been reportedly seen from time to time in Lake Elsinore near Riverside since 1884. God, I hope I pronounced that right. A lakesider named Bonnie Prey said she saw it twice in 1970. According to her, it is a snake-like 12-footer about 3 feet thick, that travels through the water with an up and down motion, unlike a snake, which is wiggles horizontally. Subsequently, three Elsinore State Park officials crossing the lake claimed that they saw a similar creature surface about 50 feet from their boat. Too bemused for accurate observation, they gave conflicting descriptions but agreed that the thing was very odd. So, you see, this is just a grand example of what I love about this book. It can be construed as corny and hokey, and it's just a lot of fun, you know, just to go back and read through things like this. But anyway, to the point. Thank you for spending a little time with me while I took that proverbial walk down memory lane and perused the pages of Mysteries of the Unexplained by Reader's Digest. Once again, I'm your host, Maria Stardust, and you have been listening to Rantings of the Perpetually Sleep Deprived on AboveTopSecret.com. Thanks.